Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of The Gavel, featuring attorney Anna Toledo. Ms. Toledo is the senior attorney and general counsel to Targeted Justice. She has a background in constitutional and environmental law and is an experienced litigator, including two cases at the U.S. Supreme Court. And here's Ms. Toledo.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for being here once again for your weekly recap of the legal news that are pertinent to our community that is comprised of victims of government weaponization. I like that new term, victims of government weaponization. Let's leave a lot behind the targeted individual term that the criminals like to associate with deranged and delusional people. And let's call ourselves what we are, victims of government weaponization. So there's a lot of things that happened this week. This past week, as you know, has been a whirlwind from the local riots in LA and the different cities to the Israel and Iran conflict. In 1 week, events have happened that sometimes it takes years for them to happen. So the way I see it is that the forces of darkness are really trying very hard to prevent the light from shining on all their evil and satanic actions. And that's how I see all of these conflicts, as a means to try to obstruct what is inevitable. What is inevitable to happen, which is the exposure of this wicked and satanic program. So in this context, I want to invoke God's protection over this space, because I know that criminals are constantly hacking and trying to hack and interfere and prevent us from communicating. So I wanted to first read a little verse from Luke. It says, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought into the open." It's this, everything that is happening is so biblical. And then in Mark chapter 2, it says, "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought onto the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." So for me, it's just truth will ultimately prevail and will be revealed to all. Let me make sure I have the comments going here. Okay, I do. Now, please help me, help us fight censorship. So like and subscribe and share this broadcast, because as you know, the forces of the criminals are doing everything to silence us. But so far it hasn't worked, because you're here and I'm here and we have really good news to share. First, there's a really great sign that Deputy Attorney General Ed Martin, let me put it here. I really like this guy. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I think he's going to be key in setting free the victims of government weaponization. So this week, I think it was just today or yesterday, he published that he is investigating the parents protesting at school boards that under Mary Garland and under the FBI directives were classified as domestic terrorists under the Patriot Act. And he published again the October 2021 memo by Garland that invited the FBI to classify as a domestic terrorist anybody that went to schools to protest because they were teaching pornography or gender dysphoria, gender affirming care to their kids. Well, parents across the nation were targeted following this memo, this letter sent by the National School Board Association to Mayor Garland and Joe Biden. Garland responded with the now infamous October 4th memo, devoting federal resources under the Patriot Act and a terrorist threat tag to pursue concerned parents as so-called domestic terrorists. I just have to insert myself here and say, as a parent, it would be reckless negligence not to go to the school board and protest that they these teachers were teaching this garbage to your children at such an early age. I'm sorry. Everything has a time, and it's not for, you know, kindergarten and elementary school children. So the interim staff report of the House Committee on the Judiciary and Select Subcommittee in 2023 informed to the public that the Biden administration's use of federal law enforcement and counterterrorism resources against parents voicing concerns about controversial curricula and education-related policies at local school board meetings. The investigation has just begun. And this is very important for you digital warriors out there, number one, to follow Eagle Ed Martin on X. Number two, to very kindly let him know it was not just the parents all that were protesting in school boards that were targeted by the Biden administration and prior administrations and illegally classified as domestic terrorists. I am absolutely certain that this patriot, this man, is going to do the right thing, and he might be the key. He might be one of the keys to the liberation of the victims of government weaponization. So please follow him and get that going. That is very, very encouraging. And I hope that I can transmit to you how happy I feel about this, because the light is starting to shine on the darkness. Now, the second piece of news I want to run by you is the fact that we have to make this go viral, okay? Dr. Hoffer, Michael Hoffer, an honorable and brilliant man that works at the University of Miami and was a doctor that diagnosed he had the important 2018 paper on the diagnostic criteria for Havana syndrome based on the 25 undisputed patients of the Havana cohort. This was published by Dr. Len Baer. He did a Substack on this. He diagnosed multiple civilians based on these criteria, including Dr. Baer. But around 2023, Dr. Baer started receiving reports from patients who have been declined appointments based on their employment criteria. As many of you know, the Havana Act of 2021 only covers federal employees. So if you're not a government employee, you will be denied an appointment with Dr. Hoffer. I think this is so illegal, particularly because University of Miami is a government it's a government agency, practically. So they cannot discriminate. They cannot discriminate just because you're not a federal employee. But it's just going to take somebody to file that lawsuit, right? And so what I see here is that the criminals, you know, all of us, if you have been targeted for a while, you know, I'm not a doctor and I defer to Dr. Baer, who is the expert on the matter, but I'm sure I have Havana syndrome and there are thousands of us that do too, even though they have not been diagnosed as such. I haven't been diagnosed as such. And what the criminals are trying to do, they're trying to cover, like my mom used to say, they're trying to cover the sky with one hand. Of course, if you put your hand here, you're not going to see the sky, but you cannot cover the sky with a hand. And this is what they're doing, because the Havana syndrome injuries are unique. And the National Academies of Science have explained that, and Dr. Hoffer's too. They are brain injury, but without the impact. That's why they call it non-kinetic brain injury. So it's not like they can cover up this, because as soon as people, particularly those in handling code 4 that don't even know that they're targeted, but they are being slightly microwave, when they start going to get their CT scan or whatever, they're going to start seeing there's a problem here. And so they cannot, this is like a huge monster that can no longer be hidden. So my plea to you is the following. There is a House Intelligence Committee that is studying Havana syndrome. Get in there, see who they are. I will write about it to facilitate it for you. But there's two things that we need. We need them to subpoena Dr. Hoffer, because he will tell the truth if he's subpoenaed by Congress. And they have to specifically point blank ask him, how many civilians have you diagnosed with Havana syndrome? And number two, and most importantly, who is pressuring you to not accept civilian patients? Who? We, of course, we know who the criminals are. And it's illegal. They cannot be doing that. So I'm going to urge you all to write to the members of the House and even the Senate Intelligence Committee and investigate. Get to the bottom of it. Who is trying to suppress the truth? So now the next one. This is my favorite, and I wanted to spend. It's going to be a little long. Be patient with me, okay? Because this is really amazing news. This is something that was not covered by mainstream media. And I only found out about it because some person that I didn't even was following, it just popped into my feed, okay? Please, let me know that you're listening to me, that you can hear me. Because I don't see anybody from... I don't see anybody from X. I hope it's going on. If not, I will upload it later. But just let me know that you're hearing me, please. Somebody? I can't see the comments. Well, I'll continue. And if not, I will just upload it. Okay, new comments here. Yes, here. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Cat Lady. Okay. So this is so freaking amazing. Okay, so Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi, that you all know, she was placed on the quiet skies. Stay here, Lisa. She did one thing that nobody expected. And like I said, it was not published in mainstream media. She fired Tamara A. Johnson, the acting Inspector General of the intelligence community. Now, why is this important? This is so recent that this woman is still appears in the DNI website. Okay, I'm going to read to you from this article from a person who was one of the contractors who was completely horrified at the abuses of this woman that you're seeing on your screen. Okay, so let me just read this. Her dismissal is a seismic shift, a direct blow against the unelected, unaccountable apparatus often referred to as the fourth branch of the government, the permanent intelligence and security state. Ms. Johnson was a fixture, a 20-year insider, like Michael Seidel in the FBI, remember? The one that hides information for a living? That used to, because he's no longer there. A 20-year insider, deeply embedded in the Inspector General's Intelligence Community Inspector General Web of Compliance Theater. Her long tenure saw her rise quietly through the Office of the National Intelligence, Director of National Intelligence, and CIA support layers during Obama's controlled reform era. Remain on touch through the Russia collusion, fabrication, and ultimately act as the custodian of secrecy during the time of expanding surveillance and institutional immunity. Because, yeah, we have to wonder, isn't there an inspector general that is checking on the criminals of the CIA that are torturing little girls with V2K? How come nobody is overseeing this, right? Okay, so Tulsi came to tear the machine open, to shine the light. That's our topic for today, shining the light into the shadowy corridors of the intelligence community where leakers operate with impunity. Oversight dies behind redacted walls and manipulation is coded into policy. Her decision to remove Tamara Johnson from her post wasn't personal. It was surgical, strategic, and necessary. Tamara Johnson was a firewall, not to protect the Republic from abuse, but to protect the abusers from the Republic. Tamara Johnson's rise through the ranks, this is somebody you've never heard before, right? It's not like the CIA director or DOJ, Mary Garland, Ray. No. This is an obscure person who is, you know, like behind, moving the puppets behind the scenes. Tamara Johnson's rise through the ranks wasn't incidental. It was timed perfectly to Obama's theater of reform. In October 2012, the Obama administration unveiled Presidential Directive 19, marketed as a landmark to move to protect intelligence community whistleblowers in the aftermath of the Snowden revelations. It was presented to the public as a commitment to transparency and internal accountability. But behind the curtain, Obama's team was engaged in the most aggressive crackdown on dissent the intelligence community had ever seen. While touting whistleblower protections, the administration prosecuted more leakers under the Espionage Act than all previous presidents combined. I'm going to read that sentence again because this is huge. They are saying, oh, we're going to protect whistleblowers. Yet, while touting whistleblower protections, the administration prosecuted more leakers under the Espionage Act than all previous presidents combined. Whistleblower lawsuits were systematically shut down using the state secrets privilege, about which I wrote this week on Substack and on X, an article including pages of when it is the only times it's supposed to be invoked. And DOJ today under Pam Bondi is freely invoking it to prevent the disclosure of information that should be produced under the FOIA. But that's another piece of news that I'm not going to talk about today. So the insiders use internal channels. Those who follow the rules were offered no clemency, no protection, and no future. They were put in jail, many of them. Message was clear. Speak out and be destroyed. That is why this program has gone on so long. Maybe there have been whistleblowers that wanted to expose it. But people like this woman here made sure they were punished instead of bringing to the light the crimes of the intelligence community. She rose not because she fought the system, but because she protected it from exposure. She had access to the internal inspector general pipeline where whistleblower complaints might have gone and where they likely died. In a structure where the most dangerous actors aren't the visible ones, but the ones who write the rule book, Tamara Johnson has long been the invisible hand, ensuring control endures no matter which party is in power. That's the kind of operator the fourth branch rewards. That is who Tulsi was up against. So when you hear Senior National Intelligence Service, don't think of a job title. Think of an oath to secrecy. These are the people who run the programs no one is supposed to talk about. And Tamara Johnson was and is one of them. So the next time someone tells you that the government doesn't fund assassination programs, election manipulation, or psychological operations on domestic soil, tell them this. They're not wrong. They just don't know how to look because they have everything hidden in silos. Tulsi didn't just exercise her authority as DNI. She demonstrated a level of discernment, courage, and tactical clarity that most in Washington fear. She's a warrior because it threatens to unravel the very networks that have sustained their unearned power. While the intelligence community scrambles to discredit her, and we're going to talk about that right now, attempting to whisper poison to President Trump's ear and flood the media with manufactured doubt, she deserves not condemnation, but a commendation. And to that, I add all your prayers. We have to shroud Ms. Gabbard in the blood of Jesus and just pray for her safety, because this is a warrior that is helping the victims of government weaponization be set free. So that is why, in my humble opinion, when last week there was the escalation between Israel and Iran, the intelligence community tried to dismiss Ms. Gabbard and make her look like a fool, which she is not. She's a very clever girl, clever woman. So I believe that that's what was behind all these riots and all these impromptu wars. So this is really good news. I don't know if you can grasp how amazingly good news this is, but it is something that we have been waiting for a long, long time. Okay. Something, there are other very good news too, and they come from the Marshals, Air Marshals National Council, who are also truth tellers. I told you last week, I think I posted it on X, to please make sure to follow the Air Marshals National Council, because they are denouncing the violation of people's constitutional rights. These, let me remind you, these were the patriots that blew the whistle on the targeting of Tulsi. The Air Marshals National Council president came out and said that they were wasting money following Tulsi and her husband around in airports. That's when it started to blow up, the scandal of this, of the Quiet Skies. And that took a lot of guts. And for that, I commend them. Because it's a ripple effect. It's an avalanche that there's no stopping this, the truth coming out of here. So now they are asking the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security to investigate the Quiet Skies and the delegation to private companies of the espionage of innocent Americans that were improperly placed on that Quiet Skies. They are asking the DHS Office of Inspector General to, they're asking to investigate TSA's evade and Paul Revere programs, surveillance activities, legal authority, and coordination with contractors to audit all the contracts. This is very crucial because some of you may have seen the video that I played a couple of weeks ago about Rand Paul saying how this agency has a budget. And that's the criminals trying to make me cough, but no, it's not going to work. Trying $110 billion budget, and they didn't even know where the money was going. And there's a reason for that, because they didn't want to provide the receipts, which Kristi Noem is doing. And I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but Kristi Noem was hospitalized last week. I have no doubt the criminals did something to her to take her to the hospital, because she is giving the receipts that Mayorkas refused to provide. And so this is what the Marshals Association is asking for: a complete audit of all the contracts awarded under this program. This is really good because it's going to show fraud, waste, abuse, and constitutional violations of the Fourth Amendment, illegal surveillance of innocent people without probable cause or reasonable suspicion, and a lot more. People need to go to jail for this. Unless people, government officials that perpetrated these abuses and orchestrated these abuses, go to jail, unless that happens, it's gonna continue. Okay, so criminals mind control somebody to call me, but of course I'm not gonna answer. Now there's another important thing that I need to talk about, which is not good, but we are on time. Let me finish. Air Marshals, the TSA has been running the largest domestic surveillance program in the U.S. history. Quiet Skies was just the beginning. We will be exposing Operation Paul Revere. TSA hired outside contractors to circumvent federal law to spy on innocent Americans. This is a quote from the Air Marshals Council, not from me. So we just have to be thankful to God for listening to our prayers, because whistleblowers are coming out of the woodwork, and there is an open environment where they can speak out and will not be punished for telling the truth. So I really believe that there's change happening. There are indications of that. For example, today, when I called out two people, when they got my call, the caller ID didn't work. So my number showed up, but not the caller ID. And I mean, and that this means that the criminals are, you know, obviously my phone is constantly listened to illegally because they don't have a probable cause to get an Article 3 court order to do any surveillance on me, but they still do it with their illegal FISA little fake warrants. So, or even without them. But something happened today. So let me know if this something like that is happening to you, like weird stuff going on with your phones. But I think it's an indication that their days are numbered and they are running for cover. And to the criminals that colluded with them and that are still to this day colluding with them, I tell you, you know what? Mitigate damages. Stop collaborating because this is being exposed and you better quit while you're ahead. That's just my advice. So I'm going to show you the other thing that is not such good news. But like I said, we're on time to make a huge ruckus about this.
Their physical activity, about the way that they live their lives. We think that wearables are a key to the MAHA agenda, making America healthy again. And we are going to, my vision is that every American is wearing a wearable within 4 years.
Okay, look at that face. That's not a happy man there. Wearables, it's an euphemism for medical devices monitoring your health, everything. For me, this is atrocious. However, like I'm a huge fan of this man. I think that this might be some sort of quid pro quo, right? For one, he said, I'm going to prohibit all big pharma ads from television. I'm going to curtail the vaccine epidemic. You know, he's going to tone down the vaccine requirements. So maybe he said, okay, I'll take this from you and I'll let you chip everybody. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just here speculating from like as a fly on the wall, because I cannot conceive of the relinquishment of voluntary relinquishment of privacy. Look at how he says, I expect all Americans to be using a wearable. No, because you know what? As a targeted individual, it can be misused for so much. First of all, I don't want anybody harvesting my data anymore. Once this is over, I'm going to remove every single particle that is not organic to my body. And I don't want to ever have anything like that again. Number one. Number two, I don't want anybody finding out whether I had a glass of wine or whatever. I don't want anybody knowing anything about us, about my personal privacy. So I think this is misguided and we have to be on the lookout for this, because this is not good for us. It's not good for anybody. People relinquish their privacy without knowing what they're relinquishing. So I think that we're still on time. He's just testifying. I don't know what kind of hearing this was, but we certainly, thank you, Tanya. We certainly need to be looking out for this. Okay. So that was the most important news I had for you this week. I want to make a couple of announcements. First, make sure to continue demanding from Mr. Patel removal from the TSDB. So far I have about 30 confirmed letters. And the importance of this is the following. Once he receives your letter, he cannot allege he didn't know. Now he's on the know and he has to do something about it. So if you haven't sent your letter, send it priority mail. I really urge you to do so. On another note, and this is for the benefit of the community, and this is just as an attorney, I used to, when I was in Puerto Rico and I was a litigating attorney, I used to defend a company, an insurance company. And one of the things, as you, some of you know, there are adjusters, right? So if you have an accident, the adjuster will come and interview you. And that piece of paper for me was the best tool I had to cross-examine and defeat a plaintiff's case. And the reason for that is that in that piece of paper, the person many times it was inaccurate or did not include everything that they should have included or included stuff they shouldn't have included. And so the way I see it is that invariably the prior statements did not coincide with the current situation. And it was beyond forgetting simple details. So just like Minister Jerome last Sunday said, we are in the fourth quarter. This is no time to mess up. The criminals are really desperate. And I do not recommend anybody volunteering information about your targeting unless it is contained in a complaint to a government agency or demanding cease and desist from a government agency or official. You know how in the criminal realm they say anything that you say may and will be used against you. Well, that's in the criminal realm because freedom is involved. But the same happens in the civil realm. Anything you say may or will be used against you if it's the wrong thing. So I just tell you, be very careful with that because, you know, you all have suffered a lot and you want to have your day in court. You have a right to that. You have a right to that. And I ask you, continue journaling and continue documenting the harm that has been perpetrated upon you. Remember, every time they fire a weapon, there's a log for that. And so you should have good journaling that will help you in due time. Now, the great thing is targeted action gets psyched and be a part of history. Targeted Action 2025 is happening on September 5th. I can't wait to see again some of you that I saw you already registered, some of you that went to Colorado. And it's going to be not just fun, but it's going to be very powerful. We already have one that made the appointment with his representative, and we're going to be going with him. We're going to provide you with flyers. We're going to provide you with talking points. And if we coordinate on a first come, first serve basis, we can go with you to your meeting with your senator or your representative. But you need to start working on that from now. Already we have 55 people registered. We need much more. We need to make an impact. Like Galactic Monk was saying, you know, down the line, we're going to be interviewed and we're going to be seen as the people that fought modern day slavery. What are you going to say when they ask you, what did you do to liberate yourself from the slavery? And I tell you, get going for targeted action. I already sent today, I sent Tranquility from TIEvents.org. She's going to be doing the ride share. There's a lot of people willing to share rides as well as accommodations. Please get in touch with her because, and also you have to first register. We have people coming from Europe, and hopefully our beloved Craig will join us again from Australia. So if you are in the United States, you have no excuse when we have people coming from Australia and from Europe. Okay. If you need help with the coordination of the meetings, I can send you, you know, a little paragraph about what to write when upon requesting your meeting, because there are things that Congress is working on that they're really looking into. For example, Havana Syndrome, and number two, government weaponization. These are the two things that is music to their ears and that you should write about. You know, don't go into, let me tell you about the holograms I see, because you know what? We want to have a cohesive message, one that entails the end of use of all technology against Americans and people around the world. Okay. Voices call. Yes, Paul. Paul from England says they're experiencing voiceless call, and I know that they force people to take injections every 2 weeks. Hi, Harold. But So there are places where you just should not speak about your V2K. And I know people in Spain that don't speak about it because they don't want to be placed in mental hospitals. Not everybody has the freedom of speech we have in America. And even then, we have people like the Southern District of Texas calling the plaintiffs delusional for alleging that they have voice to skull. And also people in Florida using the Baker Act to illegally deprive people of their freedom. However, in Europe, I really think that people should... you have a greater burden to carry because you have to carry it in silence if you don't want to be put in a mental hospital. Anyway, coming back to please register. There is in targetedjustice.com. In activism, there is a targeted action 2025 tab. You have access there to the registration form. Also, we need volunteers and we need group leaders because we're going to have different rallies in different areas. We're going to have fly distribution. So we really need a lot of people committed to the fighting of this modern day slavery. So you can say to your grandchildren one day, yes, I was there when freedom was granted to all targeted individuals. I have a very important flyer distribution happening in San Leandro, California. Please contact us at tjustice2@proton.me. If you are close, we will provide the flyers. And there's a group leader, but I need other people to go. It's a very important flyer distribution activity. In closing, I'd like to for you to give me 2 minutes to read you excerpts of a post. You know how everything happens for a good reason, even bad things, but this wasn't as a good thing. I saw it this morning from Mindful Bait Maiden, and I'm certain that many of you will relate to it as much as I did. So right now, you're sitting in the darkest part of your story. Everything feels impossible. The walls are closing in. The weight on your chest won't lift. But this isn't your ending. This is your turning point. Here's what you need to remember. You're closer than you think. Breakthrough often happens right after breakdown. Success often comes right after the moment you want to quit. The darkest hour is just before dawn. Your dawn might be one decision away. The struggle is building something in you. Strength isn't built in comfort. Character isn't forged in ease. Resilience isn't learned from success. And to that, I have to add, and courage is not learned unless you feel the fear and decide to do it. The pain is creating the person you need to be for the next level. You have everything you need to take the next step, not to fix everything, not to see the whole path. Just to take one more step. That's all you need right now. One step, then another. Your story matters. Someone needs to see you overcome this. Someone needs your testimony. Someone needs proof that it's possible. Your comeback will inspire someone else's breakthrough. You've survived 100% of your worst days. Look at your track record. Every time you thought you couldn't go on, you did. You're here. Every time you thought it was over, it wasn't. You're tougher than you know. And with that, I'm going to leave you because all of you, all of us have become stronger having survived what we have survived. And I hope you join me next week. I'm going to be obviously looking every single day for the good news to relay to you on this legal realm that we are navigating, because I know it's not easy for everybody to understand the legal things happening, but that's what I'm here for, to give you the hope that legally things are happening and to not give up. Thank you so much, and I'll be seeing you next week.